This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
2-2 pitch.
This is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
And there's a high fly ball. That's into deep left field. It might go.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
And it's gone! A slammer for Nolan Arenado!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Great to be back with you. Another hour of sports on a Sunday morning coming to you from Jupiter. We will do the same thing next Sunday. The Cardinals will break camp on March 23rd, but we will be here sports on a Sunday morning from Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium, and then they will head to Memphis for an exhibition game before returning to St. Louis and getting ready for March 27th against the Minnesota Twins. We are that close to opening day. I want to tell you about a couple of things about opening day here in just a second that I'm going to be involved in that I can't wait. I cannot wait to do. But first things first, let me tell you about the lineup today here in Jupiter. The Cardinals are taking on the Marlins. We'll have the game for you on KMOX. John, Ricky, Klaibs, Ryan Schulte, they are all there getting ready for that. And that is going to be a 12:10 first pitch. It's going to be a 12 o'clock pregame. So we look forward to that visit with those guys. And Sonny Gray making the start. Gray has officially been named the starter for opening day. No shocker there. The rotation is just about set. Ollie Marmol has in his mind what he wants it to be. There's still going to be a discussion behind closed doors, and after that, they will reveal what that rotation looks like moving forward. But for today, it's Gray against the Marlins, Cal Quantrill. He is a right-hander, and he'll be pitching against the righty, Gray. Here's the lineup for the Cardinals against Quantrill. Leading off and playing shortstop today will be Mason Winn. Winn is hitting 103 in the spring, so he certainly wants to get a little more offense going. He did single and score in the first inning yesterday in a 9-5 romp over the Blue Jays. The Cardinals just went wild offensively. They finally broke out. They had 16 hits yesterday. They really struggled offensively for the most part up until then. Also in the lineup today, batting second is Lars Nootbaar. He's not struggled. He's hitting .310 down here. He had a home run yesterday, his first of the spring. He has 7 RBIs. Also, Wilson Contreras is in the lineup. Contreras hitting .357 down here. He's the DH batting third. Brendan Donovan is the second baseman today. He is hitting cleanup. Ivan Herrera will be the catcher. Herrera has been looking really good at the plate. He gets on base. He delivers. He slugs. His slugging percentage is 11. His OPS is 1162. On base plus slugging percentage together. He's been really good. Alec Burleson hit a home run yesterday and drove in two with a base hit. So he had to really come out of that feeling a lot better. And again, these are important things, these results. I know we talk about the process all the time, but the results at this point, you want to start seeing. You can't just flip a switch and go right into March 27th. I mean, you want to see some product of all of the hard work and adjustments that they're trying to make. Nolan Gorman had a couple of hits on Friday night. We'll see if he can get it rolling today. He is playing third base as Arenado gets a day off. Victor Scott II is the center fielder today. He has been scorching down here, .345 batting average. He's stolen five bases as well. Michael Ciani can steal bases. He had 20 last season. Problem is he hasn't been able to get on base. Ciani's hitting just .061. He is the right fielder today, but Scott versus Ciani continues to be a conversation as to who's going to play center field. And then you have Lars Nootbaar can also play center. Jose Barrero, if he makes the team as a bench player, can play center field. We'll see how they play it. But that's the lineup today. Wynn, Nootbaar, Contreras, Donovan, Herrera, Burleson, Gorman, Scott, and Ciani. Other things going on today, we have Blues hockey tonight. There has been a time change. They had a little trouble traveling back from Minnesota, so it's now a 7 o'clock game tonight. For the Blues at home against the Ducks. Jordan Kyrou with a hat trick last night as the Blues won and got themselves to within 2 points of a playoff spot still. Kyrou with the hat trick. And City with a win over Seattle, 1-0. They have 4 consecutive clean sheets to start the season. They're the only team in Major League Soccer that hasn't given up a goal. Ben Lunt was the goalkeeper last night because it's a broken bone in the hand for Roman Berkey. We're going to get an update from Lutz Fanensteel in minutes on that. Sporting director is going to join us here at 11:15. We heard an hour ago from Jerry Palm, the bracketologist from CBS Sports. If you want to go back and listen to that, I think it's a good breakdown of not only what he thinks the bracket will look like when it comes out at 5 o'clock today on Selection Sunday, but also who he thinks could be a scary team to face. And he noted 2 local teams, Mizzou and Illinois, among those 2. Of course, we talked about SIUE as well, being what he says will be a 16 seed in the tournament. And we heard from Josh Schertz a little bit earlier on the show. He is awaiting a call from the NIT, says that they'll play in that. But if they don't get a call from the NIT, he's going to likely shut it down for the season. When we come back, we'll hear from Lutz Fanensteel, sporting director, St. Louis City SC. Can't wait to talk to Lutz. I'm Tom Ackerman in Jupiter, Florida, on the spring training home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
KMOX.
Edward Wright.
Get in there. Yes!
Get it, baby! Oh, baby! Edward Lumen!
Joey Zanaboni, Dale Schilly with the call on Y98 last night. I was watching it from down here and listening to it as well. St. Louis City SC beat Seattle 1-0. They have 4 consecutive clean sheets to start the season. We are joined by sporting director for St. Louis City SC, Lutz Fanensteel. It's always a pleasure, my friend, as I come to you from Jupiter, Florida, the spring training home of the Cardinals. How are things in St. Louis?
Yeah, good. I can see you actually sitting there yesterday watching the game with a nice cocktail in your hand.
Yeah.
Enjoying the sunshine. Yeah, it's good, you know, getting a home win finally, like second game at home. And I think especially against a team like Seattle, which was our bogey team so far, having played them 4 times, 7 picked up a point. And yesterday getting that win was definitely a very important step forward.
Well, you continue to lock it down defensively. But before we talk about Lunt and Berkey, how about just overall the way that you are playing defensively and limiting opportunities and chances for other teams?
Yeah, you know, really, really solid. I think the way we defend as a group, and defending is not just meaning the back 5 or the back 3. I think it starts with the strikers who are closing down the spaces. I think that's overall really impressive so far the whole season. Again, yesterday there was, I think, 1 or 2 shots on target, which is not much. Did Seattle really had a lot of clear-cut chances? No, they didn't. So it's really a big improvement when it comes to that, looking into the last years, actually, how we structure, how we organize our defensive lineup. And, you know, that's usually what wins you games. You don't need to always have that offensive firework and create 6-7 chances. If you're smart, you defend well, and you use the chances in the right moment, or a set piece like yesterday, that really gives you the points. And as a group, Tom, we really defend well so far.
Yes, you have. And Lunt in goal for you, and Leuven with the goal, and City wins it 1-0. It was close there at the end, though. They call for a penalty shot, and then, oh, hold on a second, there's a handball. They went back and looked at it, and indeed a handball, and it turns out to be a finish for City, 1-0. That was something. And then, you know, just overall, the fact that you had to make the change, my obvious question is, how is Berkey? What is the latest there with his hand?
Yeah, you know, it was in the morning, of course, a bit of a shock. So we had a normal training session on Friday, and he made a save. He got the ball a bit awkward on his hand. And, you know, we didn't really look like anything crazy. So we waited for Saturday morning and see how it went. And then I did the x-ray, and it's obviously a fracture, but it's nothing crazy. So we're not talking about an extremely long time here, but we will see a specialist tomorrow. And then we have to make that a last final decision. But then again, you know, it happens in football. Injuries are part of the game. And of course, if the captain, the best goalkeeper in the league, is out on a short notice, that could actually rattle a team. But then again, we have a good group, and as you saw, we believe in Ben Lund's quality. You know, he's an experienced goalkeeper. He's around for a long time. He works really well together with Roman, and really all the compliments from myself, being a former goalkeeper, very solid, very confident performance, and keeping a clean sheet is always great in the first game of the season. So we are obviously looking forward for Roman to return, but in the meantime, there is a lot of belief and a lot of trust in Ben Lund, who had a good game and a great preseason, by the way, as well. So absolutely no problems here.
And just a little bit more on Lund. He and Roman are very close, aren't they? They're really good friends. Roman shot him a text in the morning just to give him a heads up, but it was the day of.
Yeah, Tom, we're all very close friends, as you know. But it's very important, I think, when it comes to this goalkeeper hierarchy. If you have two guys who are off at the same level and they fight for the spot, you do not have this relationship. So I think here it's pretty much clear set. Roman is our star player. Roman is our DP. Roman is an absolutely top goalkeeper. I would call it an international top goalkeeper. So for Ben, as a second choice, it's very tough because you're training every day. You work really hard, but then you need to be ready in this right moment. And I think a relationship them to build where I think the basic situation, the starting situation is very clear. Roman is number one and Ben is number two. You need to have a special character to live actually in that role as the second choice, as the backup. And that only works out well if there is a good relationship between the number one and the number two. Having said that, you know, being a goalkeeper myself before, I was the worst number two in the world because if you cannot accept that you're being on the bench and the other guy is better, then you create a problem for yourself and for the team. And there we are really fortunate that with Berkey, Lund and also Olivares have a very, very clear structure where our goalkeeper coach Alex Langer does a fantastic job. And I think that pays off in the end of the day.
That's a really good point. What about in midfield? You had Akil Watts with Chris Durkin and Edward Leuven. If you could get into that a little bit and your change in formation.
That was, I think, a bit of a surprise for the fans. You know, see Akil on a kind of, I would call it, wide 10 position, more an offensive position. He normally plays as a wing back or a full back or as a six. But I think he worked out well because he's very athletic. He works hard. He got a few good runs behind their back three. And I think this whole combination with Durkin, which is a warrior, you know, like a hard-tackling, hard-working guy, and obviously Edu, which scored a screamer. We haven't spoken about that. I mean, it was a wonderful free kick, like really beautiful. I was actually surprised that Joey didn't jump down the balcony yesterday after we scored that one. But yeah, it was a different formation. I think it caught Seattle a bit by surprise because they didn't really know where Watts will show up during that game. And that's something, really, really smartly done by the coaching staff to get a bit of a surprise in there as well.
Yeah, it was really something. Leuven has a lot of confidence. There's no question about that. And you're starting to see it now. Here we go again with this team. When they start to play well together, it is something to behold. And you know, who could have anticipated giving up no goals. Let me ask an alternate question. Is there something that you would like to see this team do better right now? Is there something that is lacking early in the season?
You know, we don't really want to jinx that now, because as you see, obviously people coming into the stadium and they want to see, especially in America, high scoring games. And people, of course, they love a 5-1 or a 5-2 more than a 1-0. But when it comes to the whole season, I think winning games like yesterday is very important. So what would I change right now? I mean, right now, obviously, I don't want to change anything. But there is always room for improvement. There is, we also have to be honest. It was not the perfect game, you know, and it never is a perfect game. So can we be better with the ball? Can we create more chances? Of course we can. Can we have a different setup sometimes in a while to get a bit more behind their back four? Yes, we can do that as well. But if it's not necessary, it's nothing which has to be changed right now. I think you develop over the course of a season, or you develop over the course of the first half of the season. Right now, I think we should be happy what we get out of the team. We should be happy with the results. You know, I said in the start of the season, the first five games are tremendously difficult, playing against some top teams in the league. Also next week goes a special game in Philly. So where we are standing right now, I think it's pretty impressive, having not conceded a goal in four games. Not many teams in MLS history have done that. We also haven't done that so far at all. So I think that is something, Tom, we can and we should build up on.
Absolutely. You know, there's a coach that I've talked to many times through the years who says, and it just happened this past season for him, that he won games. They found a way to win the football game, and they walked off the field a winner. And he said, if people can have whatever narrative they want and talk about our team and shape it however they want us to do certain things, and I don't care. I will go out there, and we're going to do it the way we do it, and we're going to find ways to win. And that guy is Eli Drinkwitz, who was on the pitch last night delivering the match ball. I saw that you had a chance to exchange some words with him. He is something else. And the crowd really got into it, didn't they, that the Mizzou players and coach were there?
Yeah, it was really, really nice. You know, I never met him before, so we had a good talk yesterday. It was funny because he actually followed up what I did before in my life. So we had a good talk, and actually we agreed that I would come up there to Colombia once they start training and playing again, to kind of shadow him a little bit, to see actually how Mizzou is set up, how they prepare for a game, how they do play in a game. So it's something which I haven't seen before. And, you know, I'm always, even though I'm already have gray hair, I still feel young by heart. There's lots of things you can learn and pick up from other sports. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. Very interesting personality, very, very open-minded. It was great to meet him, to be honest.
Yeah, he's good. I appreciate you very much. Thank you for the update on Berkey. Thank you for visiting with us, and congrats on a great win last night for St. Louis City SC.
I'm very surprised you didn't ask me about the game against Philly next week.
Yeah, I usually do have a preview, don't I? Well, hey, while I have about 30 seconds, give me a little preview of that.
Well, I mean, you know, top team, they're doing well. Bradley Connell, their manager, so it's a special game for us as well. It's a special game for him as well. We're really looking forward to play against Philly, to play against Bradley. That's one of the teams I have the closest ties to in general, where the sporting director is something like my brother. We worked before together in Germany for many, many years, so I'm really looking forward to go to Philly next week.
I'm sure that you are, and I look forward to that as well. I think that is going to be something as we watch you celebrate and then move on to the next match, and that certainly will be a big one against Bradley in Philadelphia. Lutz, thank you very much for the time again. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Have a nice Sunday in the sun.
You too. Lance Lutz Fahnenstiel with us on Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. When we come back, the president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak, with us live from Jupiter, Florida on KMOX. And today, the Stiefel Sports Studio comes to you from Jupiter, Florida, across the street from Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. Let's go to the ballpark now. We're joined by Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, as the Cardinals take on the Marlins this afternoon. Good morning, Mo, and good afternoon here in Florida.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks again for the accommodations, as always. You provide us with a great workspace, and it's been a good ride down here, so we appreciate it.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Yep, absolutely. You have a busy week here coming. Opening day is March 27th. 1 week from today, you will break camp and get ready to head north. Just your overall thoughts on where you are right now. I can tell you, for me, calling the game yesterday was a lot of fun. Offense is fun. The Cardinals put 9 on the board and beat the Blue Jays 9-5.
Yeah, that was nice to watch. With regard to what this week looks like, obviously there's going to be a lot of transition going on in the sense of trying to narrow down our roster and really positioning ourselves for the following week when we open in St. Louis. But in the meantime, we want to, you know, communicate with our players, let them know which direction they're heading, i.e. Memphis or St. Louis. We'll probably make final roster decisions some point next weekend. But in the meantime, we'll start to get people, for logistical purposes, understanding where they're headed. And so there'll be a lot of meetings, a lot of talking, and hopefully over the next 72 hours, a lot of clarity for some people.
Yeah, most recently, the more, I guess, a flurry of moves following Phil Maton. You know, Graceffo optioned, O'Brien moves to minor league camp. You had Munoz as well. A little more clarity, I would imagine, at bullpen after the Maton move?
Yeah, I think everybody can sort of like squint and see where this is headed. So, you know, there's still a few bubble questions or some uncertainty with what exactly we're going to look like. But we're going to allow, you know, this week to play out, and then we'll try to make those decisions by some point next weekend.
And when it comes to the rotation, are you still – at the moment, stretching out Matthew Liberatore, would I be accurate to say that you still have 7?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going for a five-man rotation?
Yeah, that's right. He'll definitely get one more opportunity to stretch out, but clearly it's easier to take that step back and try to have someone that hasn't pitched more than an inning or two to try to get four or five out of. So trying to ramp these guys up, give us as much flexibility as possible, and fingers crossed, these guys keep throwing the ball well.
McGreevy's had a good camp, gives up the home run to Juan Soto, and then really showed something, didn't he? How he was able to bear down and finish that Mets game strong.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great to see. Obviously, as you pointed out, gave up the solo shot to Soto, which was a very loud home run. he definitely didn't miss it. But, yeah, McGreevy has had a really good camp, and it's great to watch.
And then, we've talked bullpen starters, those competitions going on right now. But back to Maton, the point was made by Ollie, and I think you alluded to this as well. This is a move that appears to also be designed to take some pressure off of your young players as they develop. So Maton would handle high-leverage situations, whereas, let's say, a Roycroft, if he were to make the team, wouldn't have to do that right away. Would I be accurate in saying that?
Yes, but it's also equally about just, I've always felt like when you have a strong bullpen, you have someone in there that can help younger guys understand, hey, sixth inning, if such and such gets on, you need to start thinking you might have to get up. So it's almost like having that additional coach in the bullpen, but sometimes having it come from a player, players respond better. So it's just another voice to help these guys understand what daily preparation looks like, what in-game preparation looks like. And then ultimately, when you get that call, how quickly you prepare and how you then adjust into a game-like setting. So, he checks a lot of boxes for us. He is a player or pitcher that I've had interest in over the last couple of years. So I was really glad that we were able to bring him on board, because I do think he'll be a benefit for us.
Phil Maton, kind enough to visit with all of us as well, and we had a chance to talk to him. I chatted with Jose Barrero yesterday before the game. Here I go, just like a lot of people, tantalized by his talent. I'm certain that's why he's here, is that you all wanted to see what you could tap into there. Barrero vying for a spot on your bench. Mo, what do you like about Jose Barrero?
Well, I think he gives you a lot of flexibility defensively. He looks very comfortable on any part of the infield. He looks comfortable anywhere in the outfield. He's an elite athlete. And, I think from an offensive standpoint, we see signs of things that we're uber excited about. And then there's times where you see the swing and miss. And I think one of the reasons he hasn't had that really sustained major league career is the swing and miss and the inconsistencies of the plate. And, that's something that we are working on and trying to help him adjust to. Because if he does, he's a really, really useful player.
And then finally, when it comes to roster decisions, I'm looking at center field. And obviously we see the numbers. Victor Scott's put up great numbers. Michael Ciani hasn't been able to match those offensive numbers. How much do numbers in spring training factor into a decision when it comes to something like that? Center field, Victor Scott II, Michael Ciani.
Well, I definitely think when you look at spring training performance, you tend to always remind yourself of not to put too much weight on what you see in camp. But it's hard to ignore when someone's having a really strong camp and apparently in showing that he's making the adjustments that you want it to see happen. So as much as I'd like to say you're going to just totally discount spring training, it is a variable that you weigh in on. And again, we're going to use this remaining part of the week to see how everything shakes out, but there's no doubt he's had a really strong camp.
And then there's also something else at play, too, which I understand, which, and this isn't just Siani and Scott, but just overall, you've talked about towing the line here. You have a short-term goal to reach, which you want to be successful in 25. You have a long-term goal to reach, which is to continue the success of this organization for years to come under Heim Bloom and this front office. Can you go into a little bit, just take us behind the curtain a little bit as to how that collaboration continues to evolve between yourself, between Heim, Rob Serfolio, and crew?
Well, the reality is it's been our model for 30 years. We've always tried to be as competitive as possible during the season, but also have one eye on the future. And so, really it's my hope that, the next leadership group kind of understands how we think about it and understands that our fan base, wants to see a quality product. And, we don't want to go down the path where we have to have 3 or 4 years of just a complete teardown and where baseball's not even that relevant and you try to rebuild yourself back up. I mean, this is a very, very competitive industry right now, and you have a lot of things that are changing that, perhaps weren't part of the playbook 15 years ago that are different now in terms of who's spending, who's not. And so for the Cardinals to keep this relevancy in this league is something that we're definitely focused on trying to accomplish. And hopefully, even if this year goes well, we still are thinking about what 26, 27, and beyond will look like.
And, relevancy in the league also means fans in seats, too, right? I mean, doesn't that – how much of that factors in, wanting to make sure that you get people through the turnstiles this year, get your fan – you know the fan base well. I mean, they understand what you're doing. But they also are a fan base that wants to win. They want to be entertained. You're in an interesting spot. I wouldn't say unique to other teams, but, one that not everybody goes through.
Well, I certainly understand it. And, that's that, really tight line I'm trying to walk right now. And then hopefully we're able to accomplish that and allow for the product on the field to be something that our fan base truly appreciates. I mean, look, it's hard to keep everybody 100% happy in this business because, a lot of times they feel we're just not doing enough or not being aggressive enough, and I certainly understand that, but it's a challenging business right now, and as the finances change and as we try to adjust into a new world on that, hopefully we can figure out a path back to where we were. And consistently competing for October and hopefully deep runs into the World Series.
Appreciate your time as always on the program, and thanks again for all that you do for us as a radio station here down in Jupiter, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, taking us into the organization's thinking here in spring training, some of the roster decisions that have come their way, and the Cardinals will be playing the Marlins today at 12:10. Sonny Gray is going to make the start. Cardinals will bat first, though, on KMOX, as they are the road team today. When we come back, Bernie Miklas discusses the Cardinals, and I might ask him a little March Madness as well. It's sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio in Jupiter, Florida. Back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, I want to wish a happy birthday yesterday to Sadie Steinbach. Sadie was here at the ballpark yesterday celebrating her birthday. That is awesome. No better place to celebrate than in spring training. Sadie Steinbach turned 15 yesterday down here on spring break with friends, went to the game yesterday. Big shout out to Sadie. By the way, she is an awesome basketball player. Very, very good. Joining us is Bernie Miklas and his visit, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. Good morning, Bernie. What's going on?
Good to be with you, my friend Tom Ackerman. I'm doing swell.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. Well, I just talked to John Mozeliak, and, interesting, he kind of takes us into room a little bit and sort of the philosophy. What I take from him is, you know, they have this new look reset of a front office, and he kind of said it there is they want Heim, and he hopes that Heim and Rob Serfolio and that group also understand that this organization, while they want to redevelop everything, they don't want it to be a 3 or 4 year teardown. That we're kind of just to paraphrase what he said. This is a team that still wants to stay competitive. Interesting situation they've found themselves in.
No, I understand what he's saying, but you know, I would point out one thing. They lost 91 games in 2023. They, because of their bullpen, you know, they had a winning record, but they had one of the worst offenses in the National League. So over the last 2 years, they ranked 22nd in the majors in winning percentage. So I have an open mind about this year. I just refuse to just like dismiss any team for maybe doing better than what we expect. And that applies to every team that's got at least a fighting chance. So I'm not sure what the 2025 Cardinals do. But my point is, if this is another season where it's disappointing, they don't make the playoffs, maybe they really get worse instead of better, well, then that would be 3 years in a row where basically nothing was accomplished. So it's hard for me to sort of reconcile this idea. It's like, well, we don't want to get to a 3 or 4 year teardown. Well, this would be year three of a period of time where they just haven't gotten much done, and they still have more questions than answers. So I'm trying to figure out what's the difference. However, no, I don't think they ever had to do a whole teardown. They really don't. And I've never thought, well, just tear the whole thing down. I've never thought. But they also should be making decisions not just for 25, but how those decisions will affect 2026. And, you know, just to anticipate a question, you know, I don't, if you're sort of preparing for 26 and also trying to maybe put the best team on the field for 25, I'm not sure why Victor Scott doesn't fit into that. And so it's what my point is that the Cardinals are entitled to do whatever they want, but I don't blame any fan. I don't blame myself for being constantly confused about what exactly the objective is.
Well, I don't see a team much different than last year if they have Mats right. on it and they have Siani on it. I mean, well, not that they wouldn't be on it, but in my 26-man roster, which I have right here, I work on it every day depending on what they do in terms of moves. Now that they've added Maton and they got rid of – not rid of, but they sent down O'Brien, et cetera, I changed it up. It still has Matthew Liberatore in the rotation, and it still has Victor Scott at center field. If you're going to do it, why not do it right now? I mean, just, you know, take a gamble and have a little fun with it. It'll be interesting to see where they go. Just trying to read what they're doing, it sure sounds like they're going to do the opposite of what I just said.
Yeah, Cordy, you know, I think you agree with me. We trust the instincts of Katie Wu, The Athletic, and Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. They get good information. They have a good sense of the way things are going to go. And it was very interesting to me this morning to read that both of them think Siani will be the starting center fielder and Scott will likely go to the minors. And I don't know what to do. I've been so like ticked off about this and some other stuff that I'm like, actually, you know, running out of things to say in terms of expressing, you know, my frustration, because what does Victor Scott have to do exactly? Like, you know, they didn't give him proper training and instruction in the minors. He was taking wrong routes to the ball. You know, he was taking bad first two steps when he's pursuing balls. They didn't have a full-time outfield instructor. It took a part-time hitting instructor, Ryan Ludwig, to suggest a leg kick, which kind of changed Victor Scott's season around. You know, his last 20 games in Memphis or so, he was really, really good. He came up to the major leagues. The first few games or so were quiet. But over the last 19 games, Victor Scott at the major league level last season hit .311. He had a .354 on base percentage. He had a .467 slugging percentage. He goes into spring and he's been their best hitter from start to finish. And he's also getting better in center field because of the work with John Jay. So my point is, like, what
this sounds really jaded, and I apologize, but what exactly is the point of spring training if a Victor Scott performs the way he does and he's not good enough to beat out Michael Ciani, if in fact it turns out that way? Well, like what, like, you know, and let me throw this in, Tom, because you and I and Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauley have been talking about spring training, and well, the spring training stats matter. And I've always said, well, I just really don't pay much attention to them. But in this case, the Cardinals offense was doing so bad down there, I don't blame people for being concerned. But I look at Victor Scott in the spring he's had, and if he doesn't make the team, then we have our answer. Spring training stats absolutely do not matter. And that's not our opinion. That would be the opinion of the people setting this roster for 2025.
That's right. You know, I've looked at spectacular. Let's look talk pitching for a minute. I mean, if you're going by spring training stats, Michael McGreevy should be in the rotation. I should throw his name in there too. Now, you can't fit six in there. You're not going to go with a six-man rotation. But Michael McGreevy, if you were ever going to do it, why wouldn't you do it right now? Just, you know, take a shot. And here's the answer to that question probably from the team is that they want to see him start in the Memphis rotation and be that first call, and they're going to lean towards what they know. I'm ready to roll some dice, and I don't know that it's a big dice roll, honestly, with McGreevy.
Right. Well, the thing of it is the Cardinals box themselves in because no matter what, they're going to give the ball to Miles Michaelis every fifth day, and they're going to give the ball to Steven Matz every fifth day. Now, listen, they have $29 million tied up in both of these guys, called $30 million in both of those guys this year, and their philosophy, their policy has always been, well, we're paying these guys, and that's it. We're paying them. You know, that's why we're paying them to pitch. But the thing that's weird about it is like, well, you know, one way or the other, these guys are going to get paid. They're going to get paid if they pitch poorly. They're going to get paid if they don't pitch at all. Steven Matz's case, and I'm not trying to take a cheap shot, he's going to get paid no matter how many times he gets hurt. So I don't understand this idea that's like, well, we're paying them, so they're in the rotation. It just seems, okay, well, can maybe stop talking about resets and ways and all that stuff. You know, yeah, there's a runway. It's a runway that's leading Michael McGreevy, probably leading Michael McGreevy and Victor Scott to the Memphis runway, not the St. Louis runway.
Bernie, I hope they sell the heck out of some tickets for opening day. But yeah. You, on your latest video, one of your latest on YouTube, you talked about that and more. And I would direct everybody to the Bernie Show. We only have a minute here before we to be out at 11:55 for Cardinals. But your video series is excellent, my friend, on YouTube, the Bernie Show.
Well, yeah, it's good. And we got some changes coming up with that. And, you know, we look forward to talking about that as well. But I appreciate everything I do here for Camo X, and love being part of the Gas House gang. And we'll be back at 12 noon tomorrow doing that live streaming. And you can, you know, grab that on YouTube at any time.
Yes, we will. The Gas House gang is on YouTube noon Monday through Friday. A lot of people are watching Bernie and listening to that show also. Thank you, Bernie.
Tom, have a great rest of your Sunday. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. The family's in town, so looking forward to catching up a little bit. And also, one other thing is that Vince Coleman is going to join me for breakfast on opening day. Go to KMOX.com/events. The Budweiser First Pitch Breakfast from KMOX is going to be unbelievable. Vince Coleman telling stories about the 80s. What more do you need? How about cocktails and breakfast? That is for you on opening day at Cardinals Nation, KMOX.com/events, to hang out with Vince Coleman on opening day. Thanks for joining us on KMOX.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a
DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.